Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Azure Friday. We're here with Karthik Raman, and we're talking about global distribution with Azure Document DB. I wanted to say geo-replication, though, because that's what I've always done for the last 20 years. Is global distribution and geo-replication are different things?
It's a perspective. So a lot of people, when they talk about geo-replication, they always think it is for DR scenario. Right?
Disaster recovery.
Like, I have a data, I'm pushing it to the cloud. What happens if the cloud goes down?
Yeah.
Will my data will be there? So we say, like, yeah, we do disaster recovery. We back it up in some other region, and that's all, right? Like, that's why people usually come for geo-replication.
Mm-hmm.
In DocDB, we are seeing DR as a byproduct. We build this for just for a DR.
So it's a beneficial side effect.
Side effect.
But it's
right?
not the point.
It's not the point of building this global distribution. The global distribution is meant to build a globally distributed application. Because as we grow, as the enterprise market is going on, your data wants to be produced in one place, but it has to be consumed from all over the place, right? It is not just about like your data eventually showing up. You also need to have a consistency guarantee, like when somebody is reading a data which is produced in USA from India, whether it is going to be with any consistency guarantee, right? The throughput. What is the throughput I'm going to get when I'm having a globally distributed data, and why I do globally distributed data, and about the latency, right? When I'm accessing my data from my closest to the data, I'm getting a low latency access. So these are all the three reasons why people usually choose the global distribution. The DR is something like a byproduct. So we always, whenever somebody comes to DocDB, we wanted to make sure they understand the value prop. It is not like an insurance, like you just enabled a geo replication to a second region, your data is there. It is actually a usable resource. You pay money for it. You can actually program your app against it, and you can actually you can write a meaningful app, not just like an app which eventually shows up some data. So I will show you some of the demo, which will basically tell you what we are trying to build using the global replication.
Yeah, I think this is a problem that is really a lot of people are having. Just very briefly, I have an application that runs in Japan, Chicago, West Europe, but the database is in Chicago.
Yes.
I've got the web distribution part solid. Check a couple of boxes, traffic manager, it's awesome. But everyone talks to Chicago for the database because I don't know how to do it otherwise.
Yeah, that's exactly what we are trying to solve. Just glad that like you already have a real problem. A lot of people know that problem exists, but they don't know how to articulate because they think like that is what the norm is.
Exactly.
We are trying to raise the bar, saying like, you know what, you don't have to worry about the data. Your data is taken care of by us. We will make sure it is available everywhere you want it to be.
All right.
Okay. So before going to the global distribution, I just wanted to touch point on the consistency level.
Okay.
DocDB always had consistency level from the time it GA'd, from day one, right? But the consistency level didn't really shine until you had a global distribution. Because in a single region, there is not much difference from the consistency because the things replicate so fast. You cannot even see that latency between one replica which is running in the same data center with another replica. So even though we had this consistency model from day one, the model really shines once we add a global distribution. Because now there is a physical delay between the data when you write it in one region and when it is being consumed in another
region. Right. And without realizing it, you've actually given me and hopefully our viewers some insight into how DocumentDB is created, because I didn't even think about there being multiple replicas within a single area, because logically I think about it as an endpoint.
Yes.
And it is an endpoint, and as such it needs to be consistent, and as you're pointing out, it is.
Yeah, because every region, every dot you are seeing in the graph is highly available. It is backed by four replicas behind the scene. So there is a consistency within them. So when you do a read or when you do a write, you want to make sure how much of the majority quorum you wanted to talk to. So a lot of NoSQL system expose all those low-level nuggets to the people, let them go and find out, like, okay, you figure out what consistency level you get and what it even means. So what we try to standardize is, like, we standardize the consistency into a four bucket, right? These four buckets actually gives you, it covers the major spectrum of the scenario. It's based on your app. You pick a consistency level. For example, strong is fully linearizable. Everybody gets it. No staleness, no dirty reads. There is a market for it.
At the cost of a little latency?
Performance and latency.
Okay.
Right? And then eventual, which is like no guarantee.
Yep. Eventual,
like you just get whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But our eventual is a little more stronger than whatever. Our eventual, even though you say eventual, we are giving you a consistent prefix, which means like if you're writing a sequential document, like 1, 2, 3, 4 as a number, the reads can go back and forth in time, but any point in time, you will get a consistent snapshot. You won't get the holes in the number, right? That is our eventual guarantee.
Right.
And then the session, what is the advantage of session, right? Like if you are having a user-centric app, like a gaming app or a shopping cart, where the user is interacting with this local scope of data, even though his data is part of a global scope of data, but he doesn't really care about what other user is really doing.
The rights around me matter less than the rights near me.
Rights I'm doing or the data which I'm interacting with. So when you do a session, you get a strong view for the local scope of data specific to the user, but a global scope of data. So you get the same performance like eventual, you get the throughput like an eventual, but you get a guarantee like a strong. But for that, you need to have your client to be stateful. In the sense, they have to be sessionful, they have to echo. But again, this is all taken care of by your SDK. You don't have to write a special code. But the thing is, like, you have to make the call through a stateful client.
Okay, right? That makes sense.
So that is the session, right? When you do a small architectural things, you get the benefit of both worlds. Then it comes to bounded staleness. The bounded staleness really shines when we do global distribution.
Bounded staleness. It's indicating some staleness is allowed, but within a specific bounds.
It's more than that. So bounded staleness has this implicit nature called the total global ordering. So that the global comes into picture only when you have geo distribution.
Right.
So session requires you to be stateful in the sense like you are viewing the system in context of a user.
Right.
But if you are a website or a middle tier where you are proxying call for multiple calls, right? So if you have a publisher-consumer pattern or a catalog thing where the data are produced or a stock market or weather, right?
Sure.
Somebody, analytical workload, produces the data. They publish it in, say, US West, right? And then you have websites all over the globe. They wanted to see the weather report in real time,
okay.
Right? But you also don't want to see them with staleness beyond certain limit. And you also don't want to have the staleness between them. You don't want the East US guy to say, like, I saw already that stock market has went up and the West US guy say, oh, no, I didn't see it. So you want this reach to be atomically visible in all the places, right? But still, there is a lag between the write region and read region. But once the read region sees it, they all see it monotonically increasing guarantee. They don't go back in time. So that guarantee is what bounded staleness
gives. That's the bounds.
Right? And we also give you an option to control how much the staleness bound could be. Right? If you're writing to it, you can say, like, okay, my writes should be visible to all the regions within 5 minutes. Or you can say, like, I keep writing 50,000 documents in a batches.
You know, what's so interesting about this is that what you've done is you've taken best practices in databases over the last 10 or 20 years, and you've encapsulated those best practices and made that a software as a service.
It is like, that's what we always say. Like, before the isolation level came in, people all used to say, what is the transaction isolation level means?
Right.
And then the SQL standardized, what is the isolation level? Similarly, before us going there,
right.
The consistency, everybody talks about different consistency. Right. There's a jungle of it.
Well, and I've done bounded staleness without knowing I was doing it when the customer would say, it has to be real time. And then we dig into the requirements, we find out that 5 minutes is okay.
And you don't even see 5 minutes. The thing is, like, it's the speed of light, right? Like, so for example, if the two users are in two part of the globe, unless you have a medium which travels faster than the speed of light, you cannot even see a staleness. Because you write it here, and then you make a read to the other region, you are not able to find a staleness. Because by the time you write, we already started replicating at the speed of light. So unless you have a God's eye view, where, like, you can see, like, at what point in time everything is happening, you cannot
It's real time enough, absolutely.
Yeah, right? So I just wanted to show you a quick demo about that. I will quickly touch base on how easy it is. Like, one of the thing besides the technical aspect, one thing which we are really proud of is...
That was weird.
So one of the things which we are really proud of is, like, we being a managed service, how easy we made it easy for people to replicate their data or enable global distribution.
Okay.
So if in a other NoSQL world, to just make sure, like, you have a data in central US, right? You have your business has expanded and you wanted to expand it to, say, East US or Japan or Europe,
okay.
Right? You don't have to buy VMs. You don't have to run some configuration script. You don't have to install a lot of things to set it up. You can just come, choose whichever region you want your data to be, and then you can just save, right? And we will take care of...
Really? So you're gonna take one region and turn it into four just like that?
Yeah. And...
You're going to actually make the other Azure services feel bad, because they're going to want that feature as well.
Yes. Everybody say, like, whoa, you can do that. So what is happening here is, like, we are actually syncing the whatever data you have in your write region to the read region.
But it's still available, right?
Yes, that's why it does write. Like, so your app continues to work. It is continuing to serve your reads, continue to serve your writes, while we are asynchronously building your regions. And once your region is online, it is up to date with the current write region, right? While this is going on.
So that's
going to
happen, this one, and then move its way across the
yes,
world.
Yes, all the world. So all the, it's like you can, there is no limit. So there is no limit we wanted to give. Like, we have available in 19 regions. We are going to be ring zero service. So we'll be almost everywhere Azure is.
You said a ring zero service. So you'll show up in Brazil and
everywhere Azure is. Yes, we are going to be, right?
Very cool.
So right now it is in 19 regions. So just show you like planet scale, what we really mean by planet scale, right? So this is an account which is already set up. So we don't have to waste time in going through all those things, right? So this account is actually replicating to 16 region out of 19.
Wow.
Okay. So it is writable in South Central US and it's readable everywhere, right? So you ask me like, why somebody just do that? Why, what is the reason, right? DR, you don't do this.
Yeah.
Why do you do that, right? So there are a few aspects why you would do geo-replication.
Wow, 25 million requests?
Yes. I wanted to highlight that one. It's just loading the page. Give me a second.
What is in this thing? This is test data that you're pounding on?
So I'm going to walk you through the demo. So what it is, it's like this is a backend for a storefront simulation.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So what happens is like this backend has one collection, which is like, say, 10 GB worth.
Okay.
The beauty of this is, the beauty of this is like it's very hard to scale out a 10 GB of data beyond certain point, right? If you're in a single region, there's only so much you can scale out.
Right.
But by adding 16 regions, now you basically scaled out the throughput of that particular collection 16 times.
Ah, the read throughput is increased greatly because you're offloading it to the other regions.
All right, so that is one aspect. The second aspect of this throughput scaling is you also get isolation, right? So for example, you are publishing it from a write region and your write also takes some throughput. And people are reading from it. The read also takes some throughput. You don't want the writes to stop your reads and reads to stop your write. By having this 16 region replication, whatever read throughput, they don't affect the writes and vice versa. So you get a throughput isolation by having multiple regions. And the third aspect is not just the throughput, you are able to get this data closer to your consumer.
Right.
It's not just like, okay,
it's like a CDN for data.
Yes, exactly.
We've just got a few minutes, so let's see your final demo.
Okay, so this is the demo. So this demo is basically a storefront simulation of the database which you saw. The database is replicated to 16 regions.
And this is live, this is happening.
This is live,
not
this
a
is
picture.
Live. Yeah, this is the one which is actually giving you 25 million requests per hour.
Wow.
This is the demo which is basically driving this one. So now you have the website deployed in 12 regions in Azure, and they're all talking to the region which is closest to it, and they're all working with the same set of data, which is the beauty of it. Like, you're not working on an isolated set of data. All of them are working on the same set of data, but they're able to read it from their local region. As you can see, the read latency everywhere is like
I'm just trying to absorb all of this. I'm seeing 1 and 2 millisecond read latencies, and even the worst spike is still this one, one bad spike, 14 milliseconds. It's a nothing spike. Nothing's above 2 here.
Yes, and the spike is because of the client VM, because we are running in an Azure VM, and that is not an extra large VM, so sometimes we see the spike. If we bump it up to an extra large VM,
then that goes away.
That goes away.
And then the round trip latency.
This is the speed of light. This is physics.
Is the speed of light.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So, quarter of a second to
Australia.
Yeah, so this is all read calls, right? So now there are various ways of deploying DocDB, right? You could deploy multiple ways. One of the ways is like you wanted people to be able to write the same document from two different regions, and you wanted to have a strong consistency. Like, if you update, you don't want to rewrite, so you basically use an etag-based update. So in that case, you want to writable in one region, and it's readable everywhere. There are other ways people do it. Basically, they partition the data, so they are always writable in local region, and they're readable everywhere.
Right.
So you can simulate a multi-master using DocDB. So this setup is using a single master model, where I'm just going to show you the write latency. Just a second. One more second. Okay. So now once you enable the write display, so what is happening is like all this app are simulating a storefront transaction. So people are logging to the website in their local region and they are browsing the catalog and they are making transactions.
And the database is in South Central?
The database is writable in South Central and they are readable everywhere. So you can see the South Central, the local region write latency is 7 milliseconds.
Right.
And when you make a call from East Asia, it's 150, 180 milliseconds because it's local latency plus the cross-region latency. And similarly, you can see from East US, West US, it's just the speed of light.
So this could be like Pokemon or some global game.
Or Amazon.com.
Amazon or Walking Dead, and they are writing all that data, and that's that right there is a very visible, visceral example of how a global game or a giant storefront would
with
work.
Where you can get a low latency access. Now, the next question people ask is like, okay, now all my rights are going to South Central US. What happens if South Central US dies? Am I done? Like, if my app is going to go down? So that's the where we come. We wanted to show two aspects we have implemented in terms of failovers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you actually configure your account, you are not just configuring your write regions and read regions, but what you are also configuring is a failover priorities, which means if South Central US goes down, we will automatically fail over to Central US. So mm-hmm. you basically do a latency testing of your app, and you say like, okay, if South Central goes off, how much time it will take for my latency to, your app continue to work, even during the transition.
Right.
But after the transition, a steady state, it will be using Central US as a write.
And it's a queue of exactly who you want to take over?
Yeah.
Nightmare scenario, it goes all the way
all
down
the way until you lost all the 16 data center, you will
which
still
will never
do it.
Happen.
Okay, and how do I test it, right? Like, okay, you guys are saying like...
I suppose you do a manual failover.
Yeah, let's do that. So what I wanted to do is like, okay, so if I'm doing a failover or if the disaster really happens, or you might even have a follow the sun model, mm-hmm. where like your business always happen at 9 a.m., so you can say the right regions are always following the 9 a.m. in the clock.
Yep.
So you can actually program it using a policy and say like, keep changing the right region as the sun follows.
Okay.
Right. So what I'm going to do is like the current write region is South Central US. I'm going to change it to say East US. Right? You can go to portal, you can also do it programmatically, and then just initiate a failover.
Yeah. I like the checkbox. It tells you I know I'm about to break something.
And the thing is like your app is continue to run.
Yeah.
You didn't go and replace your app.
Can you see it continue to run over here?
Yes. So what happens is we have already built in a discovery protocol behind the scene. Where when you trigger the failover, this app will get a well-defined error code from the server.
Right.
And when that well-defined error code comes back from the server, this SDK automatically enter a discovery protocol to go and ping the server to find out who is the current write region.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see like the write region has vanished, because when you do this kind of failover, the one more guarantee what we give is one more guarantee we give is like zero data loss, which means like the last write which succeeded in the old write region.
Yep.
Is preserved in the new write region.
Yep, it just
as you
found
can see,
it.
The failover happened to East US, and you can also see the latency has changed.
Latency just dropped here
because it's
and went up there.
And West US, everywhere in the globe.
And he or she is in charge now. That's amazing.
Because you're getting 7 milliseconds now in East US, and everywhere else, the latency, everywhere.
And look, and the speed of light suddenly changes because West Europe is closer to the East US.
West US got higher. Central US went higher.
That is a killer demo.
Okay. And I just wanted to finish off with the last thing.
Yeah,
how do you write an app which is actually doing this? Like the app which is running behind, it doesn't have a try-catch. It is not handling exception. It is not doing anything in the...
Does it just have a list of preferred regions?
Yes. So only thing the app is doing is like every time when you deploy an app in a region, you basically specify, I am located in East US, so prefer East US.
I see. So the app tells the client SDK, here's where I am.
Prefer it. It will do the best decision. So if you say you are in East US, it will always find the best pass to give you a low latency access based on your write status, based on your read status, based on the current availability, and based on the operation you're doing.
Very cool. Okay. That is a whirlwind tour of a global scale with Azure Document DB here on Azure Friday.